foundation to our health. It's the foundation to your life to have 10 servings of fruits and vegetables every day.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code FRUITS.
Cambridge University has revealed the two notebooks written by Charles Darwin are missing and have been for decades. CBS's Vicki Parker.
The notebooks are worth millions. The last time they were seen was 20 years ago this month when they were taken to be photographed. A couple of months later, someone realized they were no longer on their assigned shelf.
I have reluctantly come to the conclusion that these notebooks have probably been stolen.
Librarian Jessica Gardner.
This is heartbreaking for me. This is heartbreaking this has happened.
The notebooks include the sketch for Darwin's famous Tree of Life. Theory of evolution. British police have been informed, but after 20 years, the trail is cold. Vicki Parker, CBS News, London.
An SEC proposal would let some privately held companies partially pay their gig or freelance workers in stock up to 15% of total pay, $75,000 over 3 years. The agency says it would let workers actively participate in those companies' growth. Peter King, CBS News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
This stuff is fabulous. Your commercials don't even do it justice. The energy, everything, it's just amazing. People say to me, your skin looks so nice lately. Thank you. It's Balance of Nature. It's amazing.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code FRUITS.
Ready to create your own income with your own home-based business where there's no such thing as getting laid off? If a billionaire entrepreneur spent 5 years and $20 million searching for the next big trend, wouldn't you want to know what he found? If you're serious about making money from home without having to leave home, then write this down. www.gohernext.com. You decide your income. Get the facts now. gohernext.com.
The following program is paid for by Zach Yenser. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, for this hour of Tipping Point on November 25th, Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve. Daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. It's what we do every morning here, 9 to 10 weekdays on the show. And we thank you for joining us and hanging out with us throughout each day. And we invite you to join the conversation. Be our guest this morning on the show, 790-2040. 790-2040. It's the number that my first guest, who will join me in a minute, Pastor Jeff Loxton, used for our Faith and Culture segment we do weekly, our Faith and Culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Loxton from Hope City Church, with a special Thanksgiving version of that show here as we sign off today and look forward to a safe and relaxing time with friends and family this weekend. And then we'll talk about a couple news items, one national and one local. We'll talk some election stuff and then a story that I teased on Monday, but I couldn't quite get all the way through, so we'll talk about that as well. And as always, thanks and a continued belated welcome to Tom Callahan on the other side of the glass, making the magic work here. And you had a workout this morning, but tomorrow's Thanksgiving, so it's going to be okay.
Absolutely. I am looking forward to just getting a chance to dial it back for a minute.
Tom's going
to
go take a nap at 11:30 a.m. on the dot.
You got it.
Oh, man. And again, welcome, Tom, to the show, our new board operator, weekdays here on the program. Pastor Jeff Loxton, Hope City Church, welcome to you. Happy Wednesday. Good morning.
Hey, happy week of Thanksgiving, Zach.
Yes. So, you and I chatted a little bit before, and we do a segment we often call Wisdom for Weird Times, where we know that people, whether of a faith background or not, it's a faith and culture segment, often in these times, these difficult times of exhaustion, anxiety, frustration, election 2020, COVID-19, this is a year where we all tend to, at some level or another, step back, take a pause, and try to process the bigger picture. It's a hard thing to do. You help us do it every week here on the program, and I guess to kick this off, I want to get your thoughts on this. As I was processing the show this morning, the radicalness of a couple of verses that stood out to me related to Thanksgiving. The 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, "Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances." Yeah, another verse talks about, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Again, there's that theme where there is a radical joy, a radical peace, a radical thanksgiving that I think goes past beyond all understanding what makes any kind of sense. We're called to that in these times, to be thankful and to have that joy and to have that peace. And in crazy times that make no sense at all, we still have the opportunity to exert radical thanksgiving, radical gratitude, and radical giving to the people around us. So my question to you, Pastor Jeff, to start, is why is that real? Why should people not turn off the radio right now and go, "That sounds really cute, but you don't know what I'm going through, and this season really stinks for a number of reasons. But you and Jeff, you go on. You go on, keep being thankful and grateful." Why is this real stuff? Why is there this possibility for radical gratitude, radical thanksgiving, and radical joy in this season that makes no sense at all?
Well, you know, at its core, it's a reflection of character, and that word may not have the same brevity in these times that it once had, but I think things that might make sense for people practically have to do with personal health, whether it's physical or emotional. You know, as you were talking to Tom about a morning workout, how's the blood pressure? You know, my daughter is in nursing school through JTED program, and she said, "Dad, can I take your blood pressure?" And I said, "Sure." And then after she took it, she's like, "That's kind of high. What are you doing about it?" So, you know, I don't want to claim that I'm preaching to the choir. I'm like, I'm in this with you, but there's the something that goes on in our minds when we choose to embrace the anxiety, when we choose to stay in the negativity, and we neglect looking for ways to be grateful or express gratitude.
What we'll talk about, I think, tangible ways to give thanks and to express gratitude, probably in our second segment. Again, we're spending some time with our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Loxton, this morning of Hope City Church. As you are leading your congregation during this time, Pastor Jeff, what have you seen be maybe some positive impacts of practicing gratitude, of searching for giving thanksgiving for everything at all times? What are the positives of doing that? What are the negatives of maybe that spiral we can get in our headspace during this time that you've seen in your congregation?
You know, there's so much. I don't feel like you have to look far, and if you don't see it around you, I just encourage you to take notice this week of what's being revealed to you. We got a phone call this last week that was encouraging to me. Someone said, "Hey, there's a rumor that you would take blank." Source we normally use is not able to take them, and it encouraged me to think that there's a rumor out there that when other sources are dried up, that we would be willing to be a conduit to get things like blankets and jackets into the hands of people that need them. Our pantry just closed a few days ago because there was an exposure to COVID. And when I say our pantry, we rent the space to a wonderful organization that blesses so many. But in that shutdown, they said, we know you'll pick up the ball and help in our stead. And we said, we absolutely will. And so another example, there's a church in the Northwest that was handing out gift cards, and someone traveled across town to get one of these gift cards. And you can imagine they were all sold out before they even got there, or I should say given out before they even got there. And a person heard that they made the journey and went out and got them a gift card anyways. And that would have been enough, but the person who received the gift card used it to be able to purchase flowers to let the person that gave them the gift card, I'm really grateful for you. So it's just, I mean, paying it forward, this is the season for that, and we don't have to look far.
Right, and you and I think are going to walk through some version of a top 10 list of maybe some tangible ways here. As again, we take a few minutes between all the politics, policy, politics, issues, ideas, people we talk about on this program. We take a step back every week to just kind of pause and think bigger picture. We'll talk in the second segment about some tangible ways to express gratitude and to give thanks in this season as we look forward to the Thanksgiving holiday weekend this week. You mentioned your daughter taking your blood pressure, and I laughed, but I shouldn't have laughed because I'm right there with you in that. You know, I could tell if I was maybe expressing gratitude at a higher level, or you know, finding that radical peace and joy in Thanksgiving that doesn't make any sense in senseless times. I mean, we're talking enhanced sleep schedule, lower blood pressure, better physical activity, better relationships. I can tell some of my relationships right now are fraying because of certain things of stress and anxiety. And I could tell that if I was sitting down and writing those, you know, thank you notes to people, or paying it forward or passing it forward and being more intentional about that, I probably could get to sleep a little bit quicker at night and maybe snap a little bit. It'd take longer to snap, maybe, in some ways. I'm right there with you. But this is real stuff, right? I mean, this isn't this isn't kumbaya. Are you there, Pastor Jeff?
I am.
Okay. I was looking for positive affirmation, and you left me hanging.
Well, I think there was a drop on the there was a glitch in the phone. But as you were talking, I was just thinking on when we're preparing for Sunday mornings to be able to reach out to the community. And there's homeless that will show up. There's people who are really struggling with some intense things, as I think we all are in different ways. You know, the team is looking to me, and I often have an intense focus look on my face, and I had to be able to articulate with the team, look, the face, the focus is what it is. It's not disdain. It's not contempt. It's not frustration. I'm excited about what's going on. And I promise you, as difficult as the morning is, when it gets to 1 o'clock and I'm reflecting, which is one of those things that, you know, we talk about as a practical way to express gratitude or to develop gratitude, when I'm reflecting back on the day, 100% of the time, it's phenomenal. And so the focus shouldn't be misconstrued as frustration, but it is a discipline to say, what is my facial expression communicating to the people around me, the nonverbals, if you will? Am I encouraging people, or am I perpetuating the strain and the frustration in the lives of the people I interact with? And I think that makes sense on the home front. It makes sense in our interactions at school, if we're engaging at school or with our kids at school, or our workplace, different environments that we are, paying attention to those nonverbals.
We're with Pastor Jeff Loxton this morning, Hope City Church. We're going to go to our first break of the hour. When we come back, we're going to make this tangible. You and I were doing some research together for today's show, and someone had the bright idea to make a website called thnks.com, thanks.com. Yeah. They put together a 10 tips for practicing gratitude during difficult times. If you and I put together a list, this would be the list. Somebody already did it, so we're going to give them credit. But I want to walk through that list for some things that we can do to practice gratitude during difficult times as we head here to Thanksgiving. We'll be back in just a minute.
Lots of ideas and even some solutions. 10:30, The Voice.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Tucson, your Tucson Museum of Art is now open to you following COVID safety protocols. Experience the Arizona Biennial, featuring 86 emerging and internationally recognized artists in a variety of media. Shop at the museum store for unique gifts that will stand out this holiday season, from jewelry and accessories to housewares and art supplies, puzzles and games and more. Or give the gift of an annual museum membership to skip gift wrapping and shipping. Visit them at 140 North Main Avenue next to Cafe A La Carte.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Hot, then cold, back to warm. This winter looks to be a drier and warmer one with intermittent cold snaps. So it's more important than ever to make sure your heating and cooling unit is working well. Ultra Air Conditioning can help make sure everything's working properly, pumping clean and purified air in your home as we head into the holidays. Give us a call at 520-392-8008 to hear about this Ultra Cares Clean Air Bundle and our partnership with Ben's Bells. Don't go hot or cold this holiday season. Call 392-8008. Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to DecibelCoffeeWorks.com for more info.
It's the holiday season, and Jones Photo is your partner for giving and getting the gift of great art and photography. Whether it's taking the best family photo this year or printing and framing great shots of the desert Southwest and urban landscapes as amazing gifts, Jones Photo is here for all your photography, framing, printing, and learning and education needs. Don't miss out on the season and support local. Head to jonesphoto.com for more information.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
Good morning and welcome back here to Tipping Point. We're partway through our weekly segment with faith and culture contributor on Tipping Point, Pastor Jeff Loxton, Hope City Church, and we are doing a Thanksgiving-themed version of this segment as we looked at a couple of verses. Again, we designed these to, whether you are a person or of faith or not, we know that we are all looking for the bigger picture during this season of uncertainty and the difficult year that has been 2020, and we wanted to insert a little bit of encouragement here on air in between all the politics, policies, people, ideas, issues that we talk about. We're doing that today, and we're talking about gratitude and Thanksgiving since we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving tomorrow. Pastor Jeff, let's bring this home. Again, you and I were doing some research, and we landed on this list of 10 tips for practicing gratitude during difficult times. We both liked it so much. If we had come up with a list ourselves, it probably would have been this list. Somebody else did it for us. We went, that's the list. Let's walk through it, because you already spoke to some of those themes, Pastor. Give me the number one item on this list of 10 tips for practicing gratitude during difficult times.
Well, I think it is just that. It's starting with a pros and cons list, but ditching the cons side of it and just training our minds to think on the positivity. What's working well? What can I be thankful for?
Right. Yeah, and whoever wrote this said, if you're struggling to fall asleep, try doing this before bed. I've had the hardest time winding down. My brain never stops, as you can probably imagine if you're listening.
Yes.
It only stops because it has to. But I want to try this before bed. Make a list of what you're grateful for. Okay, I'll take number two, Pastor Jeff, only because this has been a goal item of 2020 that I have failed horribly at. But I did have the good idea to do this. And I actually did one today. Compose a thank you note. I wrote it to Ed Alexander, who had a great send-off this morning, his last day here on KVOI, legendary radio icon, just a great human being. Wrote him a thank you note. Thanks for being an icon, for your legacy, for what you've done for Tucson. And I felt good doing it. 77% of people who get those thank you notes say that expressions of appreciation make them feel valued. My goal, and I've got postage stamps, Pastor Jeff, on my desk. My goal is to write a thank you note a day. I failed at it horribly. But like, what if before bedtime, I just thought of someone I really appreciated and wrote them a thank you note and said, I think you're great. Thanks for what you do for this community. Keep doing it. I'm supporting you in the background.
Like, I'm going to expect that thank you note this week, Zach.
you're a few names down the list, but not far, okay. Pastor Jeff.
All right. Hopefully behind your wife.
Yes. I think I've got all the right people in the right order for the first few. Number three, Pastor Jeff.
I think what you're saying reads into three with practicing mindfulness, paying attention to breathing, slowing down enough to smell, see, hear, feel, taste the things that you're grounding yourself in the current moment and intentional reflection.
Right. Yep. Reflection and prayer for those of a faith background or reflection and evaluation and some of those other things as well, I think are important. So make a list for what you're grateful for. Compose thank you notes. This is a big one for me. Prayer and mindfulness. Number four, conveying a compliment. This can be less formal than a thank you note, but something that you appreciate about somebody and letting them know.
Hopefully sincere.
Yeah. If it's not sincere, it's
don't do it.
Probably not worth doing it. Right. And I do these by text or Facebook messages, where if I'm just thinking of somebody, I may just shoot them a quick text. It can be super easy. According to research referenced by Forbes, Pastor Jeff, get this, receiving a compliment has the same positive effect as acquiring cash. Now, that does not mean that you exchange gifts this season for a compliment. Your family may not appreciate you. I'm trying something new because Pastor Jeff and Zach on the radio said that if I just gave you a compliment over Christmas dinner, that would be like cash. So here you go. Here's my free compliment.
It.
Probably not going to help the cause, but everything besides that, convey a compliment. Number five, Pastor Jeff, our social media maven pastor, number five.
Right. Sharing. So I don't know how Karen got saddled with that name, but that's the name of the negative personality in social media. So we joke about that in our house. No offense to those actually named Karen who like to pass on the negativity, but sharing a positive social media post, something that encourages you, something that makes you laugh or smile, paying it forward in social media.
Absolutely. So important right now. This one's kind of tied to it. We've got 3 minutes, so maybe we'll run through the next few a little bit quicker, but try to avoid the negative noise. There's a new term in 2020. I never heard of it before 2020, Pastor, and that is doom scrolling. We all do it. Mm-hmm. We sit on the phone and our thumb scrolls and scrolls and scrolls and our mood gets worse and worse and worse because if it bleeds, it reads, and Facebook's algorithm has figured out how to get a lot of bloody stuff in front of you to keep doom scrolling. Shut it down, Pastor. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm saying that because I know you agree.
Yes, no, I agree. I'll pick up the next two. Keeping a gratitude journal, I think being able to tie into reflection and writing thank you letters, what worked well during the day and being able to express that. And then number eight is a favorite of mine, is picking up the phone. So who is God putting on your heart? Or if you don't come from a faith background, maybe you've got, man, I feel like so-and-so just keeps coming to mind. Pick up the phone and call them and embrace the awkwardness and just say, hey, I'm thinking about you and what's going on.
Love it. Number nine, Pastor.
Give back to your community. So what are food pantries need all kinds of things. I know in the Vail community, there's Project Angel Tree where we live, but there's so many ways to be able to give back. Thanksgiving dinners, I think we know a group of people that delivered 32 meals this last week to families that could never afford it on their own. What are some ways that you can give back to your community? That's number nine.
And number 10, last but not least, and even though we're short on time, you actually hit on this in the first segment. What is it, Pastor?
Share a grateful gesture. So, something tangible that you can give. Maybe not a compliment, maybe a gift card. Could be both. I'm open to both. I'll give you my address.
I love it. Pastor Jeff Logsdon, Hope City Church, our faith and culture contributor, urge our listeners to do one or two of these. Take them all seriously. Try a couple this season. Your website, Pastor Jeff, your church is a great place for people to plug in. What's your website?
Yeah, come visit us at hopecitychurchtucson.com. Brand new website, hopecitychurchtucson.com.
Happy Thanksgiving, Pastor. See you next week.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Hot, then cold, back to warm. This winter looks to be a drier and warmer one with intermittent cold snaps. So it's more important than ever to make sure your heating and cooling unit is working well. Ultra Air Conditioning can help make sure everything's working properly, pumping clean and purified air in your home as we head into the holidays. Give us a call at 520-392-8008 to hear about this Ultra Cares Clean Air Bundle and our partnership with Ben's Bells. Don't go hot or cold this holiday season. Call 392-8008. Tucson, your Tucson Museum of Art is now open to you following COVID safety protocols. Experience the Arizona Biennial, featuring 86 emerging and internationally recognized artists in a variety of media. Shop at the museum store for unique gifts that will stand out this holiday season, from jewelry and accessories to housewares and art supplies, puzzles and games and more. Or give the gift of an annual museum membership to skip gift wrapping and shipping. Visit them at 140 North Main Avenue next to Cafe A La Carte. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson and Southern Arizona, good morning to you again. Welcome back after bottom of the hour news, and sponsor messages. And welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to Tipping Point this morning. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I want to talk about a local story to close the show that I teased a little bit on Monday, but I think encompasses all of the dialogue we've had, I would say, the last 40 to 50 years in Tucson around environment, sustainability, housing, growth, development. I think it's all packaged into one local story here in the greater Tucson region that I want to speak to. But the other thing I didn't get to on Monday as well Is the ongoing process and coverage of election 2020, and where is it going, and who's speaking to it, and what is going on? And I've got some thoughts, and I'd love your thoughts. I'd love your call, 520-790-2040, talking about election 2020. And here's a few thoughts. I'll lay it out on the table, and again, 790-2040. Give me your thoughts. I was asking, I actually on the way in, I called someone and said, tell me, describe to me the difference between maybe the national sentiment around Bush v. Gore in 2000 and what we see now. Because my hunch is starting to be this, and that is in 2000, the election came down to one state, came down to a certain number of votes that may or may not have been accurate that needed to be recounted. My question, as I was driving in, just to make sure that I didn't have any blind spots, was it just seemed to me that in 2000, that the nation for, you know, that period of 30 days-ish, was about a month, as this whole process wound its way through courts and eventually the Supreme Court, that most of the country, Republicans and Democrats, of course, were sitting on the edge of their seats and wondering what was going to happen, that this was something that the majority of Americans were watching, were waiting, were looking for, and were really tuned into. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get the sense that a majority of Americans, Republicans and Democrats, have moved on to a large degree, that we don't have that same sense of things. And I'll just tell you today what I'm seeing, and you can tell me if I'm seeing it correctly. I'm watching, other than certain bubbles of information, certain bubbles of news, I think what's fascinating to me is that there are certain areas that are continuing to maintain that there has been a large degree of fraud or concerns with this election, that there are things winding their way through the courts, that the president will maintain victory in the end. But whether it is Republicans in government, whether it is, of course, Democrats, whether it is, of course, you know, a percentage of Republicans watching this, it seems like to me, unlike 2000, that much of the country has moved on mentally. We don't have that same look at this. And I look at things like an interview with Governor Doug Ducey saying that Biden won Arizona. I look at the visit of Vice President Pence 4 or 5 days ago to Georgia, where you could tell he was trying to figure out how to communicate that Joe Biden will be the next president of the United States without saying it. When I look at, even if it was just an institutional process that needed to happen, the turning of the GSA, you know, over to the transition process, when I see the fact that the president himself has been very quiet on this front out in public, maybe not so much on Twitter, but you really haven't seen the president. And when you see the president not really saying much until that kind of weird press conference on Monday, and all that happened there, when he had felt like he had to come out and say something. You see it when almost immediately his own family, Jared Kushner and Melania Trump, urged him to concede and move towards the future. You see it when Fox News host Tucker Carlson, who in his monologue, and it's written, it's really interesting to read the whole thing, said, look, when people claim conspiracy theory, I know that generally you're over the target. He goes, we talk about UFOs on this show. He said, but I want to see Sidney Powell's evidence. It's supposed to be biblical in proportion. A Kraken is going to be released I will give Sydney the full hour. This was a story last week. It's hers. She can have all of it. I want to hear and I want to see the evidence. Only to be turned down and then basically blocked by Sydney Powell and the team. You see it over the past couple of weeks as certain Republicans in government are saying we've got to get the transition process going. And again, I just don't get the sense that the American public anymore is on the edge of their seats waiting for the result. I get the sense that most Americans, most voters, whether they agree with the result or even if they think that there was something a little bit fishy going on, I think the result has been resolved. And I think the thing that's really odd to me is that in many ways, you can look at the results of this election as a Republican, if you're wearing the Republican hat and you're listening, other than the top of the ticket, which is, of course, important. Election 2020, by many counts, was a Republican victory. And I've talked about this a lot, so I won't repeat myself too much, but this is going to be the slimmest House majority for the Democrats, for any party in the majority in recent history. The Democrats predicted a sweeping increase of House seats. Didn't happen. The Senate was supposed to be flipped. I'll touch on this in a minute, and it wasn't flipped. The expansion of Hispanic and African-American voters to the Republican Party was distinct. Florida was supposed to be a sweeping win, and it wasn't. If you are listening and you are listening as a Republican, other than the top of the ticket, and even your top of the ticket, won the most votes of any Republican president in history. Wasn't as much as Joe Biden, who has the most votes as of a presidential candidate. But other than the result at the top of the ticket, this was a success for the Republican Party. You have to think and look at the numbers. And you have to look at the amount of unhappiness in the Democratic Party at the results that didn't happen. What I think is interesting is that you don't see the president campaigning in Georgia. You don't see the president speaking to the future of the party. There are two Senate seats that are in question that absolutely cannot flip. And I think the more days that this goes on, the more days that the uncertainty around the election results goes on, and by uncertainty, I've said this before on the show, If there is uncertainty and there is proof to back up the fact that there are certain votes and certain states that need to be counted, let's do the right counts. Let's go through the right process. But so far, there has not been public proof that stands up in court. And even if there is public proof, it's got to stand up in court, right? That's the most important piece. And there are lawyers that have dropped off the team. There are multiple states that have thrown out cases. The longer this goes on, I think the weaker the Republican Party's case for 2022 and 2024 gets. And it's interesting to start to hear Republicans in Georgia say, it's great to have the vice president here, but we haven't seen the president, and we probably won't see the president. And if I was the president today, I would be beating the airwaves and beating the pavement, especially in Georgia, and saying, look, other than me, this was a win for the Republican Party. The nation, you could make this case, I'm speaking as if I was the president, right? The nation has shown that the Republican Party is closer to being the working people's party than the Democratic Party. The tone of the nation is moving in our direction. The results of the election, top to bottom, other than my position, is stronger than we expected. We have redefined a new map. We've got to keep the Senate. This is not about me. We've got to move forward. We've got to keep the Senate. Let's look to 2022 and 2024. We are in the right direction. And as Americans, let's go back to our basic need to support whoever comes next. It is a tradition in American politics. Let's move forward. It's not about me. But you're not going to hear that. And a week and a half ago, I said, if you're a Republican listening, that's got to drive you crazy. It is starting to drive Republicans crazy in the party. I think the more baseless uncertainty that we create around our electoral process, but especially for the Republican Party, the weaker the next few years get. And you've got to think that the Republican Party has a lot of foundation to work from. But my fear, just from a Politico standpoint, is that that is being squandered as this continues on. But again, I think the core is, I don't sense this as a Bush v. Gore moment. I think whereas in 2000, the nation was waiting the results, I don't get that sense anymore. There's certainly people who are. But I think broadly, most people have moved on and moved forward, and all the signs are there. But there are two realities that we seem to be living in. And it's fascinating to me to watch those exist in parallel. Some of my thoughts as I'm processing what's happening here. Let's break some of our radio rules here. Push off our break by a minute. I want to go to Gloria on our live line. Gloria called 790-2040 as you can the rest of the hour. Gloria, good to hear from you this morning. How are you?
Okay. Only 60% of the electoral voted last time I checked, which I was astounded by that number. And of course, then of that 60%, 47% voted for Trump and 53%, let's just say rounding numbers, mm-hmm. voted for Biden. And there are things yet to resolve, the Senate, blah, 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 mm-hmm. this and that. But there is this thing called mourning. And I think there's people who are mourning. And some people take a lot longer to mourn when something doesn't happen than others. And so just saying, get over it, move on, is not as easy as you think for a lot of people. They still have a glimmer of hope about the Senate and so forth. But yeah, Biden's going to have an inaugural ball, probably not. Things are just different. They're just different. And it isn't the, you know, have a parade and have a party and rally around your candidate. It's just not that way anymore. We can barely celebrate Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So saying nobody's waiting, I think a lot of people gave up when that low a percentage of voters turned out.
Mm-hmm.
But why? This was supposed to be the election of all elections, wasn't it?
Gloria, you bring up a lot of good points there. I want to respond to two of them really quick. One is that, and I'll check this during the break, I think the highest election out, what is the word I'm trying to find? The highest turnout for elections in the last 50, 60 years was for in the Kennedy election, and I believe it was 65%. I think the second highest after that was 2016, the first time Trump ran. I think it was 63%. I will find those numbers during the break. For it to be 60%, and this probably speaks to your point, Gloria, is that it's actually high. A lot of election turnout in the last 100 years of American history has been 55 to 59%. 60% plus is high.
But when 40% of Americans don't give a rip, yep. don't care enough to yep. go vote,
yep.
what does that tell you? Oh my gosh, you know, this is this wonderful country which yep. lets us vote.
Yep.
Yeah, it's I don't know, it's very disheartening, and pile on top of that, you know, the numbers of COVID have gone up, and
yep.
Chuck wants us not to be on the streets from 10 to 2. Yeah, so there goes my trip to Walgreens, right? Have a very, very happy Thanksgiving. Let's get out of this sad, sad moment and much happiness with those two gorgeous children of yours.
Gloria, you're the best. You're the best. Thank you. And I absolutely agree with you. By the way, I am not arguing that 60% is great and we should be fine with that. Much of my generation, which really includes 20s, 30s, and 40s, it's really not until you get to 35, 40 where you see consistent turnout of voting. Gloria, I don't know how old you are, and I'm not going to ask, and I don't want you to tell me.
I'm 74 years.
Well, I was going to guess 47, but 74 works too, Gloria. We could learn from your generation, and I look at the number of voters in Pima County that turned out. Your generation, Gloria, turned out massively, and you do every single time because you understand that voting matters and that is a civic duty. For some reason, and I don't know why, and you can bet I'm working on it, young professionals do not turn out to vote, and we're a huge part of that 40% that don't show up. And showing up is important. And Gloria, I also want to be clear too, and to any listeners listening, this is not necessarily a move on, get over it message. There is a season and a period for mourning for sure. It's more of a message of, look, unlike a lot of those previous elections, there are still some seats in the balance. And I also think that there is a future to be looking for. And we are not in a position as an American society where we are good at looking to the future. And what we do today can either damage or create that future. So definitely a season of mourning. At the end of it, we've got to come together, repair our institutions, repair our trust in each other, and move forward. We really don't have another choice. We'll be right back after a short break. When we come back, a local issue I want to hit on before we head out here for Thanksgiving. Spin them away, Tom.
Show? Check out the podcast at kvoi.com.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
The Why I Love Where I Live team has one wish for you this holiday season, to find joy wherever you are. As a local retail store celebrating community, what better way to end a difficult year than by buying your Christmas gifts locally and giving friends and family reminders of what makes Tucson and our community great. From books to jewelry to clothing, hats, gifts for kids, and everything in between, visit the retail store this holiday season at 267 South Avenida del Convento or online at whyiloverewhereilive.com. Tucson, if you're like me and my family, COVID-19 has made us take a hard look at our finances and financial planning. If that's you too, give my friends at Mass Mutual a call at 274-3749. They can help you navigate through these challenging times, integrate your insurance and investments with a purpose and a plan, and create a holistic financial strategy that works for you. Call them at 274-3749 to get started. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at storytellerpr.com to learn more.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Tucson, welcome back to Tipping Point. I want to call an audible, and we are again going to push off that local story. Not to worry, we will hit on it. It includes so many of the issues that I'm particularly interested in our region. But Gloria, if you're still listening, you, our last caller from the last segment, you inspired a different ending to today's show. Tom, I think the way you put it, as you pulled up the data on the turnout of voting eligible population, is if you're not voting in the 1800s, you don't, well, how'd you say it?
Nobody cares to vote.
What do you mean by that? So we're looking at the election of 1844, 1856, 1868. We're looking at nearly 80% turnout. 1876 was almost 82% turnout of voters. We get down to the 1960 election at 63%. That has been the highest in the 20th, in the last 50, 60 years. I'm reading these on the fly. Until we got to... wasn't it the 2016 election, basically?
2016 was 59.2%. And then the 2020 election, as you mentioned, they're still estimating the turnout, but 66-ish, some estimates as high as 72, although I don't know that we'll get there.
Right. To Gloria's point, not high enough. Compared to our history, pretty dang high. In terms of turnout. I have local numbers in front of me as of probably a week and a half ago, based on ages of voters and who voted, Pima registration by age, Pima voted by age. 36,494 people aged 18 to 24 voted in Pima County. 58,000 people aged 25 to 34 voted in Pima County. If you're 35 to 49, 86,000 people voted in Pima County. 50 to 64, you ready for this? 112,000 people voted in Pima County. 65 plus, 159,000 people. 65 plus, 159,000 people. 25 to 34, 57,000 people. We are just at a point where we still do not see young people, I'll say 18 to 35, are still not participating in our voting system. And I don't know how we crack that code. Other than greater involvement earlier, national service, public service. I don't know how you crack that code. But should young people start to vote, be a whole different world. That is of no doubt. Largest, millennials, again, I'd say 24 to 40 right now, are the largest generation in America. We're not seeing them turn out and participate, and we have a lot of work to do. And I'm becoming more interested in some of the ideas of a guy named Yuval Levin. He's a contemporary thought leader who talks about the fact that we have lost trust in our institutions, whether it is police, whether it is Congress, whether it is the church. The only institution in America that has maintained over the last 50 years about the same level of trust is the military. Every other institution has decreased by 20, 30 percentage points. We don't trust each other. We don't trust our institutions. We don't trust in our bonds to each other. And I think for that reason, you see a lot of what we're seeing today, whether it is a heightened engagement that is partisan or a complete lack of engagement that's just because people are just tired. And I think Gloria hit on that. People are tired. People are exhausted. On that note, get some rest this weekend. Enjoy a great time of Thanksgiving. Be safe. Stay healthy. Enjoy safely friends and family and the time off. We'll see you on Monday, Tucson, back here on Tipping Point.